special festival. Today we're honoring the disappearance of a great soul, a real Mahatma, Srimati Gauri Devi Dasi. Gauri Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Running this one recorded lecture that we have that was given here in this room. I've heard this lecture numerous times. Different. Since there's still quite a few remaining souls in this community of Gauri's association, we would like to take the opportunity to have, and even those who have, did not have direct contact, you'll also have that up temple. And I did not have a lot, appreciated her dedication to Srila Prabhupada's mission. We know that this Hare Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's already know, but if you don't, do research on the Bhagavad Gita. How many times Krishna uses the word aham and mam? Very personal. I and me, mine, Krishna uses those words over and over again. This is a very personal. God himself is saying that you belong to you. This is Krishna's direct relationship with us. He belongs to us and we belong to him. So, but sometimes since we're coming, it takes a while to really establish concrete, meaningful, personal relationships. Now, good personal relationships. She had extremely personal relationships with the devotees that she needed direct personal relationships with the people she met on Sankirtan. This is what the Sankirtan devotees, those who know about her, she was able to instantly have rapport with personalities she had never met before. And she would size them up. Who they are? Are they businessmen? Are they simply know something about this person? And within a few, like in their face, in their lives, and they couldn't escape. She was very... So that's what I remember most about Gauri, her knowing that you have to be very personal. We're a family here. Now I'm speaking in front of, but this is your family. I keep saying this over and over again. It's not just words. We are a family. But beyond that, everyone on this planet is a family. We are all children of God. We're directly related to every single soul on this planet, every grasshopper, every bird. Then it changes the whole picture. How can you be mean and nasty to somebody who you're directly related to? That means you're crazy. Just like in the family, a mother or father who's mean to another family member, that means they're crazy. I mean, why? So I took to heart this aspect of Gauri's association, that she is extremely personal when you deal with her, just like Prabhupada did. Prabhupada would deal with the devotees directly and personally. You felt like Prabhupada had forgotten about, had so much on his plate. Who had more than Prabhupada to do? He was running a worldwide movement. He was pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement. But still, he would take the time to be very personal. Guest that came and sat in front of him. That person felt that Prabhupada concentrated on him directly. And so, this is what Gauri did. She directly dealt with people, not indirect to get away from you. No, she was very, very personal, very direct. So this is what I took away from her association. Now I'm going to turn the mic over to Subhas Prabhu. Is Subhas back? Yes. And Subhas is going to, and then we'll give the, open the floor for everybody to say what they'd like to say in glorification of Gauri Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We need your help. We kind of changed the program at the last moment here. We're going to have a class. We usually have a class by Gauri Dasi, but this time we decided to change it at the last moment. I think it'll be pretty good though. Tadit, she found some nice things on the internet about Gauri Dasi, which she never knew that were there. She just kind of punched her name in, and there are some things that came up. So I'd like to read a few. I might make a mistake or two because I don't have my glasses with me. I don't know if anybody has a pair of glasses like yours, but I'll try to read as much mistake here or there, though. Anyway, this is a memorial. This is a devotee that joined many years back in Brooklyn. Quote, when I first came to Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn, the minute I walked into the temple, the winter of 1974, Mother Gauri was in the hallway of a small Henry Street temple. She was at her small book table, very friendly devotee. Anyway, the gist of this particular quote by this devotee is that the Henry Street Temple was just a house, very small place. And at this time, Gauri was there in the front hallway, as usual, with a book table. And this person came in, and the first thing that she said to him when he walked in the door is, would you like to buy a book? That was the first thing that she said to him. So he was really amazed by that. But the main thing was that this was her character. Her character was such that She always wanted to distribute a book to someone. Gauri Dasi was really known throughout ISKCON in those particular days as a very nice devotee, a book distributor, but also a painter, an artist. This was really amazed me that she would go. I think it was kind of a release for her, you know, because Sankirtan is really an intense kind of service. You have to really build yourself up. You have to really get out there and be ready to just take on the world and stop someone, give them a book, and what to speak of them giving you a donation and taking the book. So she had to do that. And in the evening, you know, like when you come back, you need some kind of release. You need something to, like, let go of all that intensity.
Thank you.
That intensity and that kind of, like, built-up motivation you have in you to go out. So she would come back in the evening and she would paint. My experience was with her in Chicago, O'Hara Airport, and I distributed right beside her for quite a while. I distributed with her in several places around the country. Sometimes I would travel to Chicago, Washington, D.C., Denver, New York, and it always seemed like I'd run into her. Wherever New York, it was pretty amazing. We were distributing books throughout the day. Then in the evening, she came home, and immediately she got right into painting. And it was wonderful to watch her, because I remember I'd go in there. I was a new devotee, and she would be very nice, very cordial, very motherly. And we'd talk. We'd talk about book distribution. And as she talked, a couple of times she would, like, put a stroke or two on the painting that she was doing. So it was very sweet. So I'll read this since I have glasses now. When I first came to Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn, the minute I walked into the temple, winter of 1974, Mother Gauri was in the hallway of the small Henry Street Temple. She was at a small book table, very friendly devotee. Well, for one, she's a book distributor, one of the biggest in New York City. She and Mother Jadarani. When I walked in, she smiled at me, immediately asked me to buy a book. She would tell me always to come every Sunday for the feast, so I did. At times, she would let me man her book table as she ran errands or whatever. I remember her putting her collected. That was kind of amusing. She was so friendly. She had blue, sparkling eyes. One Sunday, she told me, "I will tell you a secret. Don't tell anyone. Srila Prabhupada is coming." I was like, okay. I was 20 years old. I was just a kid. I just flew in from Manila, probably a few months ago. But she was my, well, this is what happens when you do things at the last minute. Oh, here it is. She was my Pradakshina guru. She pointed Srila Prabhupada out to me. One of the greatest gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave me was his beautiful disciples like Mother Gauri. That was 1974. She was so sweet. So when I joined the movement in 1977, I never got to talk or see her because she was at the West Coast in L.A. Temple doing what she did best, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. When I went to Vrindavan in 1984, I saw her again. Thank you, Mother Gauri. Your dedication to Srila Prabhupada's book distribution is extraordinary. She was truly a warrior in Lord Chaitanya's army. I miss her a lot. Your servant, Nam Sankirtan Das. I'd say some? So, ask Bhrigupati Prabhu to say something, and I'll say some more. And if anybody else is thinking they'd like to say something, please do so.
Just one nice thing about hearing different speakers is you get a different angle of vision, a different perspective on that person. I know Mother Gauri, also from that same era. I joined in the Brooklyn Temple in 1973. And the way I remember her is this, actually. I remember as being an artist, at least in 73 when I first knew her primarily, and that she would go out on books sometimes. And she wasn't a full-time book distributor at that time. And really the way I remember it, there was different devotees in the temple at that time. Mother Jadarani's name was just mentioned. She was like the leader among the women. She was an incredible book distributor. She was an incredible preacher. She used to give classes, Bhagavatam class. She was always preaching to the devotees. But Mother Gauri didn't strike me. She didn't fit in that mold. She was not like somebody who was, I hope this is not offensive to say, like, you know, materially very impressive. She wasn't like a natural saleswoman or anything like that. And even among the devotees, she wasn't somebody that stood out as being like one of the, you know, the leaders of the devotees in terms of their spiritual practices. But she was very sincere. And anyway, so the thing was, the thing that impresses me most about Mother Gauri that I'll always remember about her is that she obviously was an incredibly sincere devotee. The reason I say that is because I knew her for those few years until the press moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. And during that time, I used to go out with her on Sankirtan in the sense that some of the women, they weren't able to carry all their boxes of books out there. So the Sankirtan men, we used to assist them. You know, we used to carry boxes out to Port Authority bus station or out to the airport, you know, drive them out there and assist in different ways, put them in the lockers so they had, you know, provide the facility for them to distribute without having to, you know, do this heavy type of work. So I used to do that for Mother Gauri and Mother Jadarani and different of the women devotees. All the men did that. And she was always preaching. I remember, you know, like that was just the culture at the time. The senior devotees were always preaching to the younger devotees. So like everybody else, she was always preaching. Whenever I, you know, had the opportunity to take her to Port Authority or to the airport or something like that, she'd always be preaching. I was surprised years later when I heard that she was like a, you know, like a superstar among book distributors. It came to me as like, not a shock, but like, you know, because I thought, okay, Pragosh, okay, Mula Prakriti, I don't know, maybe some of you know her, Mula Prakriti was, you know, you'd expect to hear that, wow, here's somebody who's going to be Shankar's, very vivacious, you know, like woman. You just kind of like, you could see when she would talk to the people, she just, naturally, she had like, she was a natural saleswoman, just like Pragosh was a natural saleswoman. My memory was she was not like a natural salesperson. And even, even like in the devotional practices, like, say, somebody like Jayadwaita Maharaj or, you know, some of the other devotees who were like, you felt that this is an advanced devotee. But apparently she just was very sincere and she just kind of kept at it. And, you know, year after year she kept at it. She kept at her sadhana, she kept at her book distribution, and she became good at all these things. Apparently she became a very accomplished artist, and we know she became a very accomplished book distributor. So she's, for me, like a real hero, because here's like a person who's like ordinary in the sense that, you know, her success was not dependent upon her, you know, material qualities and material opulences or anything like that, or even when she's like a natural, you know, like a sort of a naturally advanced devotee, person's advanced from a past life. You know, some devotees are like that. They just think, wow, this person was already advanced from a past. Neither one. And she just stuck with it. The process that she came in power to both distribute books and paint and devotees worldwide was with her. I believe it's hard to remember things that happened so long ago. There's a famous story about she distributed 100 Krishna books one day in Newark Airport. And I think I was with her that day. And the reason I say I think is in the load of the books, I drove her out there and we were distributing, and it was in the winter and it was an ordinary day. And then it was a big snowfall. So it was such a big snowfall that they canceled all the flights. And all these military people were in the airport. They were scheduled to fly, but they couldn't fly because the flights were canceled. They just, all these guys, these new recruits, were just hanging around in the airport waiting for the, you know, the snow ban to be lifted and the flights to start flying again. So she had a field day. She just went around. She probably distributed a Krishna book to every boy in uniform that was in that airport, and she did over 100 Krishna books on that particular day, which was pretty amazing. Even back in those days, that was, you know, considered a really exceptional score. So anyway, that's really my main memory of Mother Gauri, that she was a very sincere devotee. I mean, a lot of the devotees had a lot more personal association with her than what I did. I did have a certain amount when I, as I said, when, you know, back in Brooklyn. But, you know, when I heard that, wow, Mother Gauri. I remember I think I was in New Zealand or Australia at the time, and I just started hearing other devotees glorify her. And I thought, she's like, I scratched my head. I said, what, Mother Gauri? She's, yeah, so she's like, as I said, she's an example of a real Hare Krishna success story, somebody who's just really applied herself to very sincerely engaging in devotional service and became empowered by Krishna. She got the mercy. And, and the proof of it's still to this day, we're, glorifying her and hearing about her. And so I'd like to, I pray myself that I could just follow in her footsteps, I also feel like a very ordinary kind of person. And I just hope I could pray to Prabhupada that I could just try to be sincere like her and have the same end result, get the mercy of the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai.
Okay. All right. Just something about what Briga Paripada was just mentioning. This is a letter by Srila Prabhupada to Rupanuga Das. Your Sankirtan reports are very encouraging, especially that one girl, Gauri Dasi, who has set an all ISKCON woman's record of one. This is very wonderful. Formerly, this would have been considered impossible. But now, by Krishna's grace, everything is becoming possible. Encourage them all to increase more and more. Gauri Dasi was aware of her feats. And when he wrote this letter, it was unheard of, literally unheard of. So, to Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to read something else, which is a different tone, to show her picture. This is a letter from Nara Campbell, or not a letter, but her memory of Gauri Dasi. She says, I remember Gauri in the Brahmacharini ashram on Henry Street. I used to sort of snuggle up next to her and cry on her shoulder. Fully surrendered to Krishna, I needn't worry about spending time trying to figure out things. I can be very... She was so wise and kind to me. So here she was, like a lioness on the chase. He wrote a letter like that, right? You should be like a lioness out on the chase. You should be like a lamb. So she was so motherly that, being in the Brahmacharini ashram, some of the ladies, remembers Gauri coming back from her service. So very, very sweet person. And she exhibited that many, many occasions. Just to give a little bit of a history, the 25th anniversary of Gauri. It's also like the 25th year of the appearance of Shish. Let's let everyone take a look at Radha Govinda. Pastime. Ki Jai. Year in honor and memory of Gauri Dasi. Become a devotee of Krishna. So dedicated. And Sisi Rukmini Dwarkadishwar is still here. If we could be so lucky that someone remembers us 5 days after we leave this planet, we'll be very fortunate. You might remember you. But here is Gauri Dasi. A little bit of a history. Tadit and I, we're acquainted with Gauri Dasi. My acquaintance with her became with book distribution. And Tadit would go to Vrindavan in her activities of going to purchasing for the shop and going to India. And this is when we lived in Denver. And when she was past India, and she visited her and developed a very, good relationship with Gauri Dasi. I'm kind of paraphrasing it because I can't remember everything, so I might be making a little bit of a mistake. But Gauri Dasi and Tadit became very, very nice friends. Radha Govinda was made in Vrindavan, and then they were shipped to Los Angeles, and they were in Govinda's gifts. It was a Govinda's gift shop. And then as she got her cancer and she knew that she would have to leave this world, they got Radha Govinda from Govinda's gifts, Asi, and she worshipped Radha Govinda. And then eventually when she went back to Vrindavan, so this is the travel of Radha Govinda. They started in Vrindavan, Govinda's, then came into Gauri's hands, and from that, Gauri took them back. She passed from this world, she made a will out, and the will was that to take care of Radha Govinda. And eventually she wanted us to put them. We haven't gotten that far. We have a little temple and a temple there. But this is, and it's been 25 years now that we've been worshiping Radha Govinda. And remember, it's been very sweet. Whenever this festival, it helps us become more focused on Gauri and remembering her character, sweet she was. And she also gave us a great opportunity. And it's been very ecstatic. Life to our home. Tadit takes a very wonderful taken care of.
Well fed.
We do all the boga that goes to the Govinda's restaurant goes through Sri Sri Radha Govinda. So there's a lot of Govinda here. You know, so Govinda's is pretty popular in this particular circumstance. So we hope that you'll try to take advantage of their association, the very sweet deities. Gauri Dasi was a preacher, book distributor, an artist, and a very dedicated soul to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And it might be a good day to get a little bit of mercy from Radha Govinda. Maybe we can do one of those things. Maybe we can become a book distributor, an artist. And we can get a little bit of mercy from Radha Govinda. There's something there. It's not an accident. It's not that things happen in Krishna consciousness or in this world by accident. It wasn't an accident that she left her body in Vrindavan. And Tadit and I feel it wasn't an accident that they were placed in our care. Things have a purpose. And we can see that because of her dedication to Srila Prabhupada's mission, that she's going to be known for the next, well, at least up to this 25 years. And then so many years that program until Tadit and I pass. Such a wonderful arrangement. And that it's not an accident. It's preordained by Krishna himself. So whatever we're doing here today, it's not something that's just being propagated as, well, whatever, it's an accident or this or that. No, there's a purpose behind this, especially if you become a very dedicated soul to the instruction of your spiritual master and you worship Krishna nicely and you perform wonderful devotional service. And this is Gauri's legacy. We're doing this because that was what she deserved as a really wonderful, nice devotee. And again, I'd say that her qualities were such that I was a new devotee. I didn't know that much about Krishna consciousness. I was a struggling devotee like anyone else at that particular time. We were all struggling. And we always looked for someone that we could communicate with that understood us or would help us or give us a little bit of special insight about Krishna consciousness. And she was that kind of individual. She was very strong. Whenever you spoke to her, she was very, always told you, surrender to Krishna. Because, you know, just like this one girl here said, she's a very analytical mind. We all tend to have that kind of mind. But she was very determined and fixed just to tell everyone, just surrender to Krishna. Just surrender. And at that time, it was very difficult to understand that. But that was her way of preaching. She was determined, fixed, in the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Is there anyone else that would like to say? We can bring you a microphone.
You want to come up front? Or?
Thank you. I just say about Gauri, she used to come up to Seattle where we were distributing books at the airport. Again, like Bhrigupati said, she was very, her mode of distribution was not very vivacious or anything like that, but she was very in front of the person. She was famous for being able to do the most stoic business, and she would just hold the book in front of them very slowly. she would go from one page to the next. Somehow or other, they were completely mesmerized by her, kind of, you know, hypnotized. I just remember this one time, this one, and he would say, "I'm in a hurry, I'm in a hurry. Just have 1 minute, just 1 minute. Let me just tell you about this book." And he said, "I have to go to the bathroom." And she said, "Oh, just understand." She says, "The demigods are in charge of all your body. Just control your senses, you know. You'll be fine." But at that point, you know, she just the book. So he just took the book to her and walked away. But her personal life, she was kind of an avid dupe. Somebody had to iron her clothes for her, do her. And if you didn't iron her clothes, if you didn't, you would just simply take her clothes out of the laundry, the clothes that had been dried and piled, and they were all just like, and she would just put that on. So she would walk, she would be walking through the airport all day with these extremely wrinkled clothes. She didn't even realize it, you know. And like devotees could practically do everything in her sadhana and her Krishna consciousness. We'd come back from the airport every day, and we'd immediately take a shower. Of course, we were at the airport we'd leave the airport at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'd rush back to the airport. All the girls would just rush into the temple room and see who could be the first to touch Srila Prabhupada's feet and take a shower, and then we would rush back into the temple room, which was right. We had to get into the ashram through a window because the door of our ashram was a... So we'd come into the temple room, and then Gauri, for the 2 weeks that she was up there every year, she would give Bhagavad Gita class. And 2 weeks were so sweet and so enlightening because she would more or less guide us through the Bhagavad Gita in such a way that you felt you were right there. To the next, we would remember, like sometimes you come into Bhagavad Gita class, you don't remember what was. She would just guide us in such a way that we knew exactly what the class had been for the past week. Class, it was very sweet. She was a wonderful devotee.
Anyone else? Sashi Tenoy.
So I have the great fortune to have the association of a very saintly lady. I saw her as a mother. I was at the airport one time in the late 70s, and I got that. As a new member, I was bewildered and confused. I was like in the corner, afraid to approach people. So I was in a serious problem because I see that she's going around and she has the determination to talk to people, but I was not. So she came to me. She said, "Your problem is that you're thinking you are this body. You're thinking you're Mexican. You're thinking so many things. You're so conditioned." So then I thought, oh my God, she break me apart. So what to do now? So then I started looking around. Should I act like her? Like she was approaching from the big top businessmen you see at the airport, very sophisticated people comes, businessmen, you name it, Hollywood stars, and simple people. And I was just choosing the people that I could talk to, that I can fit into. But she was going to every single person, and I was like amazed. So finally, she said, "You know, when you engage these people, when you give them the chance to meet Krishna, because we are presenting Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, this is the desire of Lord Chaitanya. You please, Guru and Krishna, just by engaging these people, by approaching them and telling them about Krishna, Krishna sees the endeavor. Prabhupada will be pleased, Lord Chaitanya will be pleased, and these people will have an opportunity." On another occasion, in the late 70s, later on, she was actually developing some sickness. She had cancer. And one time, we were about 20 devotees in fundraising. There was a big festival in the LA Street Scene, Los Angeles Street Scene Festival. And we were doing some paraphernalia or something. So suddenly, among the crowd, there was a lot of wild, crazy, intoxicated people crazy, wild. And I saw one Bhagavad Gita, and then I saw another Bhagavad Gita, and I thought, who is distributing Bhagavad Gitas? And then I start feeling like transcendentally envious. I said, I should be doing Bhagavad Gitas. And then I thought, no. These people don't need Bhagavad Gitas. They need to be beaten with a stick because they were so wild and crazy. In fact, the police and horses, they were going there breaking apart fights right in the crowd. So many, unfortunately, low-class people were there to disturb the mood of the festival, and that festival was stopped by the city because it was uncontrollable. But I was seeing Bhagavad Gitas going here and there. And I thought, who is that great soul? Who is that surrender soul? Who is that Mahatma? And then I look further away in the crowd, that old elder lady wearing white, renounced nun. And I thought, oh my God, I felt like crying. When I saw that, I felt like, oh my God, what a determination, what sincerity. And that brings me to the point of Prabhupada one time. I was reading letters of Srila Prabhupada, and he wrote a letter to one devotee. He said, at the bottom of the letter, he said, you tell that mother, that girl, Gauri, you tell her that painting is okay because she's an artist. She can paint, but right now what I need, this is Prabhupada speaking, I need my books to be distributed. And she surrendered to that. And as a consequence, you see the success that she had. She had to, you know, later on she went to Vrindavan, and she was rewarded by the surrendering to the order of the spiritual master. So my fortune was that I had that opportunity to be associated with her. And we had many interactions here because we were communicating with the men's ashram and the women's ashrams, and we would figure out who will go where, which part of the city. She was like that famous general, like that saying also that we are soldiers of Krishna, servants of Arjuna, servants of Prabhupada. Strategically, like her mind was just thinking where such devotee and such devotee should be engaged in Krishna service. And she will not tolerate any nonsense. She could be really heavy sometimes too. I had experience. Thank you for holding this festival.
Anyone else? She was one of the first that I know that started a traveling Sankirtan team of women. She had a motor. And then she traveled around. She had some young ladies with her. And in those days, that was not normal. Anyone else like to say something about Gauri? Well, I think everybody probably wants to take the nice prasadam. It's been a very nice feast. So we're going to serve the feast out here in the temple room to do it right here. So thank you very much. Think very nicely of Gauri Dasi today. It'd be really nice to think of her in terms of how mission. And she just wasn't talking or lip service, but she actually was performing. That's the difference. You know, like they say in the material world, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk. That was actually Gauri Dasi. And although she had a brief lifespan in this material world, it was full of Krishna consciousness, though. It was full. She died at an early age, in her mid-40s. But her life was totally full. In the period of maybe like 15 years that I knew her, it was power-packed. And then from that point on, she went back to Godhead. So it's incredible. Incredible life story. If we could have been so fortunate. Gauri Dasi ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Govinda ki jai. Krishna Prasadam ki jai.
Alright, so now we're going to ask everybody to line up in rows. The ladies can line up on this side near Radha Govinda, and the men can start lining up from the wall. And alternate rows facing each other, like that. Hare Krishna.